Okay, we'll be starting up in about a minute, so we'd like RSG members to please settle in, get your coffee. We'll review the afternoon agenda in just a moment. Are you okay if we begin, or should we wait for Ken? What's your preference? How long is it expected to last? Oh, we won't adjourn. All right. So we'd like to ask you to please settle in for the afternoon. We'd like to welcome you back to the final afternoon session of the regional stakeholder group meeting. The flow of our agenda this afternoon is as follows. We're going to begin with public comment, and as we did yesterday, we're going to need to manage the time carefully, so we'll ask in a moment those speakers to stand up and be counted, and then we'll figure out the time allocation. We'll then invite comments, or rather presentations back from each of the work teams. And we'll go in the order of jade, emerald, and turquoise. And we will especially ask the work teams to talk about their progress with their draft proposals. And as you'll soon hear, to the best of our knowledge, we do not need to take a straw vote because there was enough convergence across all three work teams. So that is very good news. It frees up a part of the afternoon for some additional work team activities if they need to do that, and it also takes the pressure off of straw votes. So congratulations to all of you for your hard work. It's really quite an accomplishment. So we will, though, need to plan next steps in terms of refining these now draft proposals, and we'll need to talk a little bit about that after the work team presentation. And then we'll talk about next steps and again review for you the upcoming SAT and BRTF meeting schedule. So with that, I would like to ask members of the public who want to address the regional stakeholder group to please stand up, and once again, we'll count you and allocate the time.
Okay, and since there are other people standing behind you, raise your hand high, please. If you plan to talk, do you want to talk, raise your hand high? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10, 11.
All right. All right, so we'll allocate 2 minutes each. Once again, Eric will use his magic watch timer. We don't have the festive Christmas tree. So if you would like to address the regional stakeholder group, please go ahead and approach the microphone. And as you do so, as you start to speak, tell us your name and where you're from, please. Line up behind the speaker. Go ahead.
Great. The new Salmon Queen. It's a charter fishing boat out of Emeryville. And I compiled the last 3 years of records I have, fish and game logbooks and stuff, for salmon trolling bycatch. And what I found was from 2005 to 2007, I had a total catch of 3,920 salmon. I had three mackerel for bycatch, one lingcod, eight striped bass, and 25 halibut. And that was, those, all that bycatch was in 30 meters or less. Okay, most of it was like in 60 feet or less water. Okay, I've got the spreadsheet right here. I even did a little thing right here so you can just view that, okay, and see the bycatch is so small. I mean, less than 25 for halibut, okay. And then I did all my log right here. So I'm going to give this to these people over here so they can look at it. I'm just a poor fisherman. I couldn't make all these copies, okay. So there's no way. Okay, so anyway, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, that the bycatch for us, for trolling, is very minimal. I mean, so that's pretty much it.
Thank you very much. And if you haven't done so already, will you please give the I-Team a copy of your document there? Thanks.
Yeah, I like Shim. My name is Harry Garabedian. I'm a sport fishing boat operator out of Emeryville, the New Seeker. And I, too, went back and accumulated 5 years of records from 02 to 06. And I really didn't know what to expect as far as bycatch goes, you know. But we did compile some, and out of 190 trips mooching, I have both mooching and trolling, and it's all broken down under 150 feet, over 150 feet, and all that, but I'll just wrap it up into a small shell for you. It was 190 trips over almost 4,000 people. We had 140 rockfish. I didn't break down the halibut, and you guys are pretty much just concerned with rockfish, so I stuck with that. 86 of those fish came one day. So we must have targeted them for some reason or not, because all the other numbers are real insignificant. Trolling was 230 trips, 3,800 people, and 33 rockfish. And both were lingcod, was 5, 1, and 6 the other. So I'll give this to them so you can look over it. It's broke down to under 150 feet, over 150 feet. It's also broke down for mooching and trolling to give you some idea of what... but it's 5 years of logbook records, and hopefully it'll keep us fishing at Duxbury, because that's the heart of our fall fishery. And if we lose that access there for salmon, it'll be just genocide for the salmon fleet for our fall fishery. So look at these facts. They've been compiled carefully, and evidence can be brought and shown to support all these records here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. And again, please leave that with the I-Team if you could.
Hi, my name is Michael Stocker. I'm a director of Ocean Conservation Research. Actually, MPAs are not our issue. We were working on ocean noise pollution issues, but I've been involved in the ocean for quite a while. I'm third generation, somebody who's had my feet wet in salty water, maybe real close to it. Started pulling fish out of the water when I was five years old with a pole, rod and reel. And I've seen a lot of changes, I'm sure, as everybody who's been out in the water here over the last 30 or 40 years, and I'm not going to enumerate that because I'm sure people have seen a lot more than I have. But... what I'd like to bring up, I read this book by Callum Roberts. I think everybody in this room should read this book. It's basically a 1,000-year history of fisheries and fishery protection and, you know, management of the fisheries, digging back to basically Charlemagne. And he talks about the fact that, and he's basically it's called Unnatural History of the Sea. He's a quite a respected fisheries biologist. He says that we have about 5% of the biomass in terms of vertebrate biomass in the ocean that we had maybe 400 years ago. We pulled a lot of fish out of the water. As these gentlemen were talking about how many rockfish are pulling up, I remember back when I was a kid, as many hooks as you could put down and how much weight you could pull up was about it. It was bycatch was, you know, it wasn't an issue, but we were yanking them out of the water real fast. And if there's only in 30 years of fishing or 20 years or whatever it was, only a few rockfish, at least I'm a little concerned that the rockfish densities might be pretty low. Anyways, he also talks about Caribbean islands where they fish down on the trophic level, where they have fish tea is what they're drinking now. They get kind of small little critters and they boil it, and that's what their protein source is. He's also talking about the fact that they decided in this one area down there where they were drinking fish tea to put a marine protected area in. In 2 or 3 years, these guys were actually catching some big fish. They tripled their catch, and all of a sudden they started getting things that you could actually put in the pan. So I'm just basically speaking on behalf of the importance of a no-fish area, marine protected areas, and of course the larger the better, but you know, whatever we can get, it'd be great. That's really kind of what I'm here to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
A Natural History of the Sea by Callum Roberts. Fabulous book.
Thanks.
Hi, my name's Emma. I just recently moved to the Bay Area, and I originally actually grew up in Idaho, which, as you probably all know, doesn't have a lot by way of marine protected areas or marine life. But where we used to vacation in the summertime was a place called Redfish Lake, where we went with my grandfather. And it was called that because, you know, 50 years ago, 75 years ago, when the salmon would come up to spawn, the lake would actually turn red because there would be so many salmon up there. And by the time I got to be born and go to the lake, I didn't actually even believe the story anymore because there weren't any salmon in the lake. I thought it was kind of one of my grandfather's fish stories, you know. And so, you know, that kind of is the background of my interaction with sea life. And coming to California, it's astonishing to me to go to the Monterey Bay area and to see, you know, piles of sea lions, you know, or, you know, sea otters out in the kelp and, you know, hundreds of brown pelicans on the shoreline. It's kind of like a redfish lake for brown pelicans or for sea otters. And I just wanted to make a comment here to really impress upon all of you who maybe have lived here longer and kind of have grown accustomed to the splendor here, that it's really a remarkable place to be. And I really want to strongly encourage you to put in place a real strong network of MPAs with a backbone of marine reserves where these fish and these ecosystems and this abundance can really be protected and, you know, for the next generation and generations to come. So thank you all for your work.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Mary DeLong, and I am from Montana. I'm also the president of the Fitzgerald Marine Reserve, or the Friends of Fitzgerald Marine Reserve. As many of you know, Fitzgerald is a rich natural history. It's just beloved by people from San Mateo County, the Bay Area, the rest of the world. I mean, it's a fantastic place. This treasure is the starting point for many visitors for a life of learning, science, and stewardship of our oceans. I've been a volunteer at the reserve for 14 years now. And over the years, I've shared the wonders of Fitzgerald with thousands of school children and adults. And the Friends of Fitzgerald, with their many volunteers, work really hard with rangers to instill a spirit of ownership and stewardship of the oceans. We do a lot of education there, and it really is a place that needs to be protected. An expanded state reserve will protect a wide variety of habitat. So I urge you to designate Fitzgerald as a true reserve with the border from Pillar Point to Pedro Point and 2 miles out to sea. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Kfexis. I'm the staff scientist at San Francisco Baykeeper. First of all, we'd like to thank everyone here for all their hard work. We know this is a tremendously difficult and time-consuming thing to do, and we really appreciate that everyone is putting so much time into this. Baykeeper feels that the long-term sustainability of California's coasts are really dependent upon the diversity and resilience of the ecosystems on our coasts. We feel that MPAs are a key tool to achieving that resilience. We'd like to encourage the members here today to keep working towards MLPA networks that are built around a strong core of high protection areas that will continue to protect and sustain the widest range of species in our coasts. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Steve Durkin. I'm a park ranger at Fitzgerald Marine Reserve, fourth generation from the coast. And I'm here today to talk about this process. First of all, I support it and I appreciate all your hard work. I'm talking about the boundaries that Fitzgerald Marine Reserve falls under, and that would be from Pillar Point to the south to Point San Pedro to the north. This area has both shallow and deep water habitat, with much diversity, which includes habitats such as kelp forest, surf grass areas, soft sandy bottoms, boulder fields, and an extensive intertidal shelf out there, reef system. This area supports a diversity of life that by creating this as a state marine reserve will help improve the area, help improve the fisheries, acts as a nursery that allows these fish to expand out into the open waters. And I feel by doing this will truly help everyone involved. other habitats that are found there, other things that are found there, such as the harbor seal rookery, nesting birds such as the common murres and cormorants out on our reefs. And by doing so, we'll help really create this. As far as management enforcement, of course, you've got staff like myself out there on the field. We're there, you know, 7 days a week with support from our friends group and local community. It also falls under jurisdiction of the state parks and federal GGNRA. The California Department of Fish and Game would have access to the area by launching a boat there at Pillar Point Harbor to the open water sources. Of course, along Highway 1 and other public areas, there's great visibilities to patrol and maintain this area, thereby showing the success of this process and actually helping to create a true marine protected area. The Fitzgerald Marine Reserve feels it should extend from Pillar Point to San Pedro Point, again extending out about 2 miles, and then another further 1 mile for a conservation area, allowing certain sustainable habitat fisheries to occur, finding a balance, you know, for everyone in the community. Again, we show success by the management, the enforcement that can take place. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hello and good afternoon. My name is Chris Arbelich. I was here yesterday. excuse me. I work for the California Fly Shop, which is a fly fishing shop in San Carlos. And just been starting to fly fish the coast off the beach for the last 2 years now. And really, I've been in constant contact with multiple anglers for these 2 years that really enjoy the coast, that use it as a place to go to just for a couple hours a day and just to, like, enjoy the, to get away from it all. And by closing these beaches down, it's going to be really affecting the future generations as far as my generation and generations to come to really go out there and enjoy these beaches and tributaries. One is Pescadero Creek that has a really already in place a very strict kind of regulations and rules. Hopefully we can keep that open. But all in all, really, it's going to be affecting a lot of people, and hopefully we can keep it open. And I really appreciate you guys' time. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much.
I'm here from Shelter Cove, which is part of the Fitzgerald, or next to the Fitzgerald SMCA and SMR in Plan C. And the residents of the cove, a number wanted to be here and couldn't, but they asked that I would just speak on behalf of, yes, it's an excellent plan, and we would ask that it even goes further because there are sea lion or seal rookeries on Pedro Point that have been doing great as far as we can tell, and the pups actually land on the in the beaches between the rocks north of the point. And so our feeling is that if it stops at the point, it might not be far enough. It would be great to give space to the muir and the pelicans. There are seagulls nest there. There's a lot of nesting that happens there. And one other concern that we have is the land north of Pedro Point is private. And because it's been private, it's reduced the number of people that go there. And there's a proposal into the Coastal Commission now to make that a public access beach and area, which would bring the public out to Pedro Point as well. I don't know if this affects that at all, but it's just something to know. But we're very supportive of this plan. Plan C, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Josh Lynch. I work with an organization called Energy Action Coalition. I live in San Francisco. I work with young people to develop clean energy and energy conservation solutions that are innovative. And I just wanted to first acknowledge and appreciate this process. It's something that is really bold and innovative and really is another example of where California can be and is becoming a leader in policy solutions that can not just talk about problems or throw money at it, but actually bring the stakeholders to the table and create real solutions. I had the opportunity to sit in for a few minutes on the early work group session and just saw that you clearly are making concessions. You're bringing people to the table, and I appreciate that. Just wanted to say that as someone that enjoys the coastlines of California and really appreciates the places we have in California, like Point Reyes, you know, like Fitzgerald and Salt Point that I saw on this map. As most Californians do, this is what makes California, California for us. And I just want you to, when you're making these concessions and thinking about what decisions you have to make, to think about not just your immediate opportunities and issues, but future concerns and future generations as well. So I urge you to create the strongest possible network of highly protected areas for California.
Good. Thank you very much. Are there any other members of the public who would like to address the regional stakeholder group? If not, I think what I would like to do next is to recognize that the RSG and the I-Team is very fortunate to have some very dedicated members of the Blue Ribbon Task Force. And we had two members with us, the meeting in Wallala. And today, Meg Caldwell is with us for only about another hour or so today. But she did get to observe at least a good part of the work team deliberations. And I wanted to welcome Meg and invite you to make a couple of comments or observations if you're so inclined.
So I just wanted to thank you for making me feel so welcome here. And I've spoken offline to a number of you, and I hope that I'll be able to do that in the forthcoming month or two, because these are really the intense months for us all. I have to tell you that this meeting that I've witnessed both yesterday and today has been the most impressive regional stakeholder group meeting I've ever seen. I cannot believe the level of commitment and understanding of the core data and materials and discussion of policy considerations and socioeconomic considerations that you guys have exhibited in every single group. And it's just, it's incredibly heartening to me that you know, you've brought your bodies, minds, and souls to this effort in the way that you have. I have to say that I have tremendous respect for the work product that you guys are all in the process of producing, and I'm really pleased to see how much convergence that there is. And I know there's still work to be done, but I can't speak highly enough about the work that you've already accomplished. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Meg. And you are going to be able to, I think, see the presentations of the proposals before you take off. So we're happy for that. Thanks so much for joining us. So Meg just mentioned the respect for the work product. And I just want to congratulate all of you and remind you of what you have accomplished and how far you've come. At the meeting in October, on the 16th and 17th, we challenged all the work teams to come up with two options. And it was hard to do. It was a struggle, but all of you accomplished that. And when the BRTF received those six draft options and then the four external to the work team proposals, they said, great work, and could you please try to winnow these down and come up with something more like five for the next round of evaluation. So we really took that as the target. And you accomplished that. We have arrived at that destination through a lot of hard work, a lot of give and take, and a lot of immersing yourself in the data and really understanding each other's interests. So I really think it's quite an impressive accomplishment. We said yesterday morning that there were four pathways to convergence. We suggested that maybe two different work teams in two different places would combine ideas. We also said, well, maybe work teams might combine with external proposals, that work teams might converge internally, and that proponents of individual proposals might decide not to advance them but use them as a source for ideas. And in fact, all four pathways have been used to get to five. So it's quite impressive. We're very happy that we don't have to, in fact, use the straw voting tool this afternoon. And what I'd like to do is call upon the I think it would be appropriate to call upon the leads or co-leads from each group, and each group has a slightly different story to tell. The sequence that we'd like to go in is to begin with Jade, then Emerald, and then Turquoise. So I'd like to invite the respective co-leads for Jade to introduce where they've come and In those cases, there's some special information, and then we'll hear from Emerald and Turquoise. And Eric, you wanted to make a couple of comments, so go ahead.
Just a little bit of guidance for the presenters. We'll be actually bringing the GIS computer up here, plugging in. We'd like to ask you to come up and use this mic to present. We think there's actually, we were originally going to focus these presentations on just the main changes since last night that have been made, but given the timing that we have and for the benefit of the public, we think it's actually important for each of the converged packages we'll be hearing about actually walk through your entire array so everybody knows what's there. Of course, we don't have a lot of time to do this, and so to focus on the main shapes and any allowed or disallowed takes in the SMCAs, if there's a key toward agreement that took place in the meeting, it would be good to hear about a couple of those if you can help tell a story about how the discussions with other RSG members, the input from the public, helped you to converge. So we'd like to invite Jade, one of the two Jades, to come up here first, and we're signing up for it.
Wasn't quite prepared for this, but I guess I can wing it.
An elaboration. I would urge you to be fairly terse in summarizing each allowed take in each area. We don't have time for that. We need an overview of the entire proposal. We're set up for Jade C first.
How convenient.
Melissa?
Shall I? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to sit here?
It's fine.
You want to sit?
I can stand.
Okay.
Had they told me at the beginning of this process that it would involve this many surprises, I wouldn't have volunteered. I hate surprises. But let's buzz through this quickly. Everybody ready? Okay, so Jade C involves a combination, a merger of Jade A and External C. So it was created with me representing the C folks, occasionally consulting them, and a somewhat diverse group of Jade members. So at Point Arena, we adopted the Jade B shape, which was a slightly larger reserve, and we added this little area that you heard about yesterday. It's a reserve that protects Sea Lion Cove and particularly the abalone population there, which is vulnerable because it doesn't have a ready source of replenishment from deeper water. I think we can move on. So that was a compromise between the Jade B and the Jade A folks. But it was informed by conversations that both of us had with people from Point Arena. One other thing I would say about that from after we leave it, is that we decided to go for relatively high protection there. It's a reserve with an SMCA that allows salmon trolling only, commercial and recreational. Okay, Saunders Reef, we made a few changes based on input from the public and folks in the region. The lower line now has Sail Rock as its anchor, so people can easily figure out where it is. Oops, that's not our area. Saunders Reef, I believe Saunders Reef in our proposal is actually an SMCA nearshore and an SMCA offshore. The SMCA nearshore allows urchins, forget that reserve picture, I don't think it's correct. We allowed urchins because of the importance to Point Arena Port. I think you guys have heard that story before. And otherwise, I think we brought the boundary out a little bit so that we weren't splitting the reef, and that we got from various people in other groups. Okay, so let's move down to Del Mar. We keep that and turn it into a marine reserve because it seems to be working for the folks in Sea Ranch. And then we go down to our Sonoma Coast area, where we've got the one large fully protected area in this proposal. It goes from Salt Point to Black Point. We're having a little trouble with the pictures here.
Okay, this is Del Mar.
Karen, I think you're exceeding this pace of our GIS capability here.
Terse.
The technology is great,
okay.
But it
all right, well, just imagine there's a big area to the north of this.
Just hang on.
Okay, so while they're doing that, I'll just explain one other approach that we adopted here, which was to have, because we have the port of Point Arena, we didn't want to obstruct fishing in the, like, 2 miles or so north of there, because that's where they can go safely, and they depend on having launching recreational as well as commercial boats. We left that open, the harbor area open, and have two minimum size areas, one on either side. The one on the top is high protection. The one on the bottom will not count for spacing, but we think it will have some benefits for rockfish. And that's, those minimum size areas can be good for edge effects. They're more likely to have the big fish inside swimming out, so they can be good for fishermen. You're more likely to get real conservation benefits of the ecosystem protection and broad biodiversity protection in a single large area. So we think it's good to have a diversity as long as we have a core set of the big areas that are high protection. We're also trying to get a diversity of areas so we can see how they behave and watch their performance. This Salt Point Marine Reserve, Salt to Black Point Marine Reserve, has a marine park at the bottom, allows all kinds of recreational fishing. The idea is that to enhance recreational activities that could benefit from the protection to the north. Further down, next slide, next area.
Geography.
So we're moving down to Russian River. This is a compromised site. C had a larger area. B had a smaller area. One of our members is from near there and told us that the purpose of this area was to benefit, to protect the fish that congregate there, Chinook, Coho, and Steelhead, before the river is open in the fall. And they seem to congregate about in the 1 mile radius. So that's how we chose this area, and it really splits the difference between the two other proposals. And it protects up to the Highway 1 bridge, just to make sure that we get some estuary protection. There's seals and seabird colonies here too. Okay, next. So now we're heading to an area that was hotly debated. And you'll see different solutions to the issues that we were all addressing when we get to Jade B, or whatever it's called now. Bodega, we were aiming here to have a high protection preferred size area. We had a hard time getting there because this area right here is too shallow probably to count as high protection. It will probably be a moderately high protection area, but we think it's still going to have some good values. We changed this line over here to we had originally started in C with a reserve that came out to here and down to here. We moved it up to accommodate the recreational salmon fishermen and other fishermen in this area. I know a lot. Some folks have raised the upper boundary up, and I think that's an interesting idea. I think this area, you know, we're still looking for the best arrangement in this particular place, but we've got a pretty big reserve in an area of rocky habitat that goes all the way out to shore. It's the only place in the region that does that, and the rockfish there really need help. So the main purpose of this is restoration of rockfish and capturing that diversity of habitat. Next. Okay, so this set of packages, Jade A and C, both needed more estuary and eelgrass habitat in the north region, so that's why we added the Tamales Bay south area. At Point Reyes, and I think everybody has Drake's Estero more or less is like this. With Point Reyes, we used the area from C, which was not terribly different from the area in Jade A. And then we get to Duxbury, where we use the area from Proposal C, which I think some of you have seen in your groups. Reserve at the top around Double Point, SMCA, salmon, crab, commercial and recreational up here, and then here, salmon, crab, recreational and commercial halibut. The idea basically being to make sure that there's quite a bit of reef still open for recreational and commercial fishing, but to get some good protection in the shale reef habitat and the rocky shoreline. And then we move down to Fitzgerald. We see this as an area that has really high conservation values, so it is a reserve all the way up to the point, up and slightly around the point. There are seabirds and seals up there, and this is an area badly in need of restoration with a record of declining landings over time. We did change the uses based on some conversations that happened in other groups and this one. We added wet fish to the SMCA as an allowed use, along with crab and salmon. And that brings us down to Pescadero. Because of the hot kayak use in Bean Hollow, we moved this area up to a spot that isn't as hotly contested. It is used by charter boats out of the nearby harbor. But it seems to have a little bit less controversy, and we think it's about 10 miles from the nearest site. It's got a different aspect than Año Nuevo, and it's got a nice mix of rocky reef and sand. So our last site is at the Farallones. And we started with the C shape, which was reserve in this whole area, and an SMCA up at the top. Based on conversations with various people, charter boat folks and others, we ended up extending our reserve all the way to the northern boundary. We also ended up changing our, we shoved this line, which used to be here, in half a minute to allow access to Hurst Shoals, and then we shrunk our marine reserve into the square to allow some salmon trolling through here. So that really is one of our most changed areas, as it turns out. And it reflects a lot of conversations with folks who came here from outside the RSG as well as people inside the RSG. And I think that's it.
Do we have any questions, Karen? Thank you very much. I actually would, in the interest of, if Meg is even still here, Meg getting a chance to, here she is, to hear each of them, what I would like to do is invite each of the groups to present, and then we'd like to have plenary questions and clarifications on all four.
So in summary, I would just say that I think we have a good mix of different types of areas, different kinds of habitats, and the network is anchored by three, I think, preferred size high protection areas and a couple more preferred size moderately high protected areas.
And so just to, you still have the mic, just to reconfirm, the path that Jade followed is Jade worked very hard to try to converge, but it was evident at about 5:50 last night that was very unlikely to happen. And we had a conversation, and at that time, it seemed that converging with outside proposals was the best way forward. So I don't know if you want to comment on that or say anything else.
Okay. I think we
evidently not.
We still hold out hope for a broader convergence. This seemed like the best way to get done today, since we weren't going to take a lot longer to reach any kind of agreement. And we also found in our groups, at least from my perspective, it seemed like two different groups of Jade were starting from somewhat different premises about what we're striving for, with our group thinking that we need a network that has several high protection, preferred size areas, and others in Jade having a different set of assumptions, which I won't try to capture for them.
Diplomatically put. Turning to Ben Sleater.
I'm just going to run through this from here with
that's
my collection
fine. Go ahead.
Of notes.
And he's got the GIS teed up.
Ready to go? As Scott was saying, we kind of went for the mix of Jade B and out external B. We took the opportunity, though, to run through external B and a number of the other options that we had discussed yesterday prior to 5:15 or whatever that time was. And so we did make a few rather small changes, but probably, you know, pretty significant. One almost global change was the allowance of squid in conservation areas. In external B, that was allowed. We've removed that, again, almost globally, and I'll talk specifically about the one exception to that. So Point Arena is roughly the same. We had a slight boundary adjustment on the area north of the point that moved west, I don't know, a tenth of a mile, moving south to Saunders Reef. This one actually, I think, had maybe some of the most change. Prior to the adjustment, it was a single SMCA. We were able to split it, like many others have, kind of mid-reef there. The outside area, again, would allow salmon, crab, all, you know, the kind of salmon trolling, Dungeness crab, and then the nearshore pelagics, so herring, anchovy, sardine. Those would all be allowed inside as well, and we've also added urchin, abalone, and shore fishing to the inside one. Scrolling south. So the Black Point. Sorry, I was actually convinced that was Black Point for a second. So I believe the Black Point one has stayed the same with some minor cleaning up of boundaries that whoever submitted this didn't digitize correctly. So again, same rules apply in the SMCA. Going down to the park, no change again in the park, recreational finfish and abalone. We did add in Gersel Cove as an SMR. That was not there in the original external B. Going further south to the Russian River, this one I actually thought we came up with a fairly decent solution here. Again, the objective, well, there's actually two objectives. One is the replication of the estuary habitat, but the other is the issue of salmon in front of the Russian River, the coastal Chinook. We wanted to address both, but we didn't want to adversely impact particularly shore anglers in this area. So I think what we ended up doing was taking a solution that we talked about yesterday, took those boundaries, but actually split it at the mouth there. So the conservation area would allow everything with the exception of salmon, and then the inside is an SMR. Going south to Bodega Head. I don't recall any changes from external B in this one, again, with the exception of removing squid from the conservation area. We did add the two esteros there, San Antonio and Americano. Those were not previously included in external B. We also added in Tomales Bay, the existing State Marine Park, with all of its intact regulations. And Point Reyes, I believe, stayed the same. This is the exception to our global definition for SMCAs, where we do allow squid here. Drake's Estero did not change, well, with the exception that it's a state marine reserve. Susan might be able to help me with the language until the lease expires, but apparently that is a SMR now. Going south to Fitzgerald. Again, no changes from the resubmitted external B here. Again, with the squid change. And then the islands. And so this, the geometry here is still the same. The one change to designation, well, the one change to regulations we made was, recognizing the importance out here that this would in fact be salmon troll only, that there would be no crab, no nearshore pelagics, and part of that is from just, expert knowledge that there's a lot of rock out there that's not mapped, extending out into the conservation area, and I think that's it. I don't think I missed any of them.
Good. So just to be clear, the ideas that were originally introduced in external proposals B and C are now moving forward in these two tracks that you just heard about, and that also carries forward the ideas in JADE. So the JADE successor really supersedes the external B and C.
Yeah, I think that's a good comment. And speaking from external B, I mean, external B was largely developed as a result of the early discussions in the JADE group. I mean, it sure wasn't developed, in advance. I mean, most of it was based on that. So the work group was very influential in that proposal.
Yeah. So already this has been quite iterative in development of these draft proposals. Okay. So let's move on and hear from the Emerald Group. Turquoise. Mary's in charge, actually, and I do what she tells me. Turquoise. I'm seeing a team. Okay, we're going to begin in the south.
We're starting in the south, just because we like to change things up a little. Turquoise acted like a big family at Thanksgiving, so lots of loving, lots of hating, lots of moaning, lots of groaning. And we came up with a big turkey. No, just kidding. But we all came out smiling, and we accomplished Melissa's goal, so we're happy about that. With Pescadero, we have an SMR with inside the marsh. There was one opposing view that did not agree with the majority of the group, and the reason that we decided to go with an SMR is because of the Endangered Species Act and the listed fish, so that's our reasoning behind this particular SMR. Moving up. The other thing while we're moving up, what we used as an approach was to sort of put options on the table, and if there were four or five options, we would sort of take a straw poll vote and winnow down to two, and then where we didn't have group consensus, we would vote between the two. So here we have Fitzgerald, Moss Beach, And our two finalists were a combination of the original Turquoise B, which went from Point San Pedro all the way down to Pillar Point, and then this new option, which basically takes you just a little bit south of Egg Rock. We've got a reserve on the inside. You can't see the rock, but we're covering the rock with that reserve. And on the outside, we have an SMCA that allows for salmon and crab and wetfish. Moving up.
We should probably mention why we did that.
Go ahead. Can we back up a little bit there, my friend?
Sorry?
Can we go back just back for a second? I just wanted to kind of explain why we did that, Fitzgerald. At Fitzgerald here, we did have the original B, which had a nearshore SMR in here. And then what we did was we expanded the reserve component here in order to allow access to fisheries that are had by the land-based launching of skiffs that come out of Pedro here. And this is pretty much the only really area that they have that's substantial to fish, that's productive for them. In the future, we realize that there is Egg Rock here and that will eventually be addressed as in a special closure having to do with bird and mammal disturbance here, and particularly the muir birds that are located here.
So moving up to Duxbury, we were inspired by Emerald. Thank you, Emerald. We adopted an SMR in Bolinas Lagoon. And we also used the Emerald array to come up with what we eventually voted on and came to consensus. We were looking at first below the existing line. We were considering having a commercial and recreational halibut, but we thought that became problematic with feasibilities and SMAs, next to SMAs, and we wanted to keep it simple. So what we have now here is an extended SMR along the coast, and we brought our line out a little bit, and inside our SMCA we allow salmon and crab. So moving up to Point Reyes, I'm not sure why the Estero is blue, but that's a reserve. Okay. It just looks blue. Okay. So there, now it's red. So what we have here is magic. We've got a reserve around the head, and we have... We arrived at this to make sure that we covered the point of the head to get some good coverage for forage and marine mammals and the integrity of this very unique geographic feature. We've kept open Chimney Rock and the wreck rocks to the northwest that the sport fishermen like to fish. With regard to the SMCA, we are allowing, what are we allowing? Crab and salmon. And squid. And the Estero, we're not allowing anything. And then we also adopted this idea, I believe it was from Emerald in Tomales Bay, where we had a smaller reserve there originally, but we liked your feasibility standard, and so we took that north-south line and extended it as well.
Realizing as all of us did that creating the SMCAs that did not include halibut gave us our deep sand that we needed. We also picked up more here that was more representative of it. But also this line here we had extended out earlier, and it created a pretty intense crab conflict here. And so we did manage to move this in, this particular line here from outside, and broadening the nearshore reserve component here as well. Also, we picked this off of, I guess, Emerald? This was a modification off Emerald, which I think terminated at this point here, and we just extended that line to include this, to make it more feasible. Again, the Drake's Estero has the notation of the expiration of the leases in 2012.
So, we also were running deficient previously on our northern estuary replication, so we've included Americano and San Antonio, and again covering more eelgrass in that larger piece. that we have down in Tamales. Now, on Bodega Head, I'd like to comment that all along this has been, for our group, an area of great consensus. We haven't had arm wrestling in this area, and this is pretty much the original that we've ever put forward, both in our A and our B. We've got a reserve covering a really great amount of intertidal rock, and on the outside we have an SMCA that allows salmon and crab. We also have the existing, what we're calling Charter Beach, is an SMCA, and there was an existing charter landing. There was an existing SMCA there, so all of the existing regulations are intact. Do you want to go to Farallon's before we go to Russian River? Okay. So here at the Russian River, we really wanted to protect the salmon and get some good habitat replication as well. So we don't have a reserve here, but what we do have is an SMCA because we really wanted to keep in mind some of the socioeconomic impact. So we're allowing crab because this is an important crabbing area, but we're not allowing anything else.
One of the consideration may be given to surface melt. That's still what we're not sure how that's going to evaluate in the SAT, but there's a surface melt component to this that may eventually come to light.
So then we come to an area of one of the hottest contention conversations that we had, and the only area where we did not have universal consensus, where we had our most uneven split. We've got an SMCA on the outside that allows salmon and crab. And what we did with the reserve, we go from just about Horseshoe up to just below Sea Ranch. And folks extended a little bit of that reserve so that we could get a larger size reserve to allow for the crab, because we wanted to make sure that we still had some high protections because we knew we'd get dinged for including crab. But we did want to include crab and salmon for the crab and salmon fishermen. The park goes from basically Horseshoe down to Gersel, and I believe that we're replacing the existing Gersel. We're including the existing Gersel. And then there was another, somebody refresh my memory, there's some other marine park. Existing salt point is goes away with our new array. The other option was to take the reserve further down to the south in Black Salt. There were many of us, six of us, and the park people who wanted the reserve to go down to include part of Salt Point Park so that you had park in the water and park terrestrially. Moving north to Del Mar. Del Mar is existing, and Del Mar remains existing with the same regulations. And then we've got Saunders. And again, we borrowed from some other ideas, some of the Emerald folks and some of the outside sea. We liked their shapes. We have two different SMCAs. On the inside, we're allowing urchin and abalone. Urchin because it's an important fishery for the Point Arena folks, and abalone because not a lot of folks are, there's not great impact there. On the outside, we have salmon only because we wanted to keep our protection levels moderate. If we move up to Point Arena, we have a reserve that does not hug the shoreline and keeps Bill Bernard happy. And then we've got an SMCA on the outside that, again, to keep the protection moderate high, is salmon only. And in this area, we were told by our friends who fish in the north that the important crab areas are where the existing Manchester Beach. There's a little gyre up there in case you didn't know. So we are getting rid of the existing Manchester Beach regulations.
As far as the protection level here, if by only including salmon, we keep this at a high level of protection.
Crab. That's it?
No, we have the islands.
Oh, Farallones. Yeah. I almost forgot. See, I wanted to go geographically.
Okay, did you want to do this? I'll do it. At the Farallones, we came up with this configuration as a kind of a result of sea and adapting a radius around the island to encompass. Basically, we're running right on a 50-meter curve here. It's pretty close to it. We tried to get as close as we could to that, allowing out here only salmon in this particular SMCA. The SMCA here, again, this particular SMCA here would allow salmon and crab. This SMR, obviously nothing, but the reason why we have this filled in here, this particular SMCA, is for protecting forage base. That was a pretty big issue for us. And this was included in here to be evaluated as a forage base protection level.
So just to add a viewpoint again, the SMCA to the south, that allows salmon only. The SMCA that covers all 3 square miles is no forage, so no anchovy, no sardines, etc. The SMCA to the northeast allows salmon and crab. And that's it.
Great. Thank you. Great tag team. All right. Now we're ready for Emerald. And after we hear from Emerald, we want to hear from Dave Yarger as to his thoughts on external to the work team proposal A.
There's nothing up there. Yeah, why does this always happen to me? So while we're waiting, I just wanted to start by thanking all the members of the public for your feedback over the last few months. The Emerald Group actually was able to come to some consensus, at least on advancing this proposal forward as a group. And I think that you'll see the evidence of the feedback that we've taken into consideration from all the members of the public in the options that you see in this array. A lot of the shapes, you could see in some of the other proposals that were presented, a lot of folks borrowed from our ideas. So obviously they were pretty good. So if we can start at Point Arena, that'd be great. All right, so Point Arena, we have an inshore SMR and an offshore SMCA that's salmon trolling only, so that's high protection. Because of the crabbing that you've heard about that goes on here, we wanted to take that into consideration and leave Manchester Beach alone. And in addition to that, we also wanted to make sure that we preserve some shore angling opportunities there as well. We also brought our southern border up. It used to encompass sea lion rocks as well. So we no longer have that, which also preserves some shore angling opportunities. So we think this is a nice compromise. It's a way to encompass some of that really complex, diverse rocky habitat at Arena Rock while still preserving some fishing opportunities, and taking into consideration the commercial fishing industry there. So next, going south, is Saunders Reef. And again, this is a shape that you've seen a version of in some of the other proposals. We have an inshore SMCA where you can commercially take urchin. In addition to that, you can also shore fish for fin fish and take abalone. And then the offshore SMCA is salmon trolling only, so that would be high protection. We went with this shape and have this sort of diagonal border to the west of the buoy because there are a lot of commercial urchin fishing activities going on Saunders Reef that, you know, even up and a bit to the west of the buoy, so we thought it was really important to preserve that because it's such an important fishery there. And then again, we wanted to preserve some of the shore angling opportunities and abalone taking opportunities there. But we still think it's really important to have because we were able to preserve some really nice rocky habitat there at Saunders Reef and protect rockfish as well. So as I think Karen maybe said earlier, but in an ideal world, you know, we maybe would have had an MPA going all the way from Arena Rock down to here, but because of, you know, taking into account socioeconomic impacts and recreational opportunities, we ended up with two smaller MPAs, but I think there's still a real benefit to having this here. And we did bring the southern boundary up as well in response to a lot of the concerns that we heard, including some safety concerns from folks at Anchor Bay and Haven's Neck. All right. So I think the next one is Del Mar, and we went ahead and kept that as a state marine park. All right, the next one is our Sea Ranch to Salt Point SMR. And originally we had this from Black Point down to Salt Point, again, as a fully protected state marine reserve all the way out to state waters. But we listened to some of the concerns from recreational fishermen and from the parks, California State Parks, who seemed to say there was a real interest in preserving recreational opportunities, particularly for abalone at Salt Point. We also heard that feedback from some RSG members last night, so this was in response to that as well. We know there's a really nice facility for at Salt Point State Park, and we wanted to sort of respect that and take that into account. We still think it's just a really fabulous state marine reserve because I think it's along the coast, at least, it's the only reserve we have that goes all the way out to the state line. And that's something we heard loud and clear from the science advisory team, is that something we need is high protection all the way out to the state line so we can encompass some of that deep sand bottom. In addition, it's one of the only reserves we have that's in the preferred size range, and that's something we also heard loud and clear from the SAT, is that's something we didn't meet, and most of the arrays didn't meet in our last round. So I think this is a really good opportunity to get a preferred size SMR while still preserving a lot of recreational opportunities, particularly here at the Salt Point State Marine Park, which also will absorb the Gersel Cove existing MPA there. So I think next is the Russian. And so this shape is also similar to what you've seen in some of the other proposals. Again, we use the bridge here as our landmark, and it's a fully protected marine reserve, no take. To address some of the shore fishing concerns that we heard and some of the other concerns we had, I know there's also some crabbing that goes on here, we sort of just brought the southern boundary of our reserve to the north a bit, so we don't have goat rocks in anymore. And we no longer have Arch Rock either. But it's still an important reserve from the perspective that we're able to protect Chinook and Coho salmon and steelhead in having this reserve here. And our understanding is that it isn't going to have a lot of high impacts on recreational fishing that goes on right here. There isn't actually a lot of salmon fishing that does go on in there. Next is Bodega. All right, so this shape is also different from what we had last night. So we took into the account the feedback that we got from the public as well as other RSG members. Our original boundary, well, you can't see it here, but our original boundary was at least a couple minutes. Yeah, it was around down here, I think, as a reserve. We brought that up because we heard loud and clear there are a lot of safety concerns for the local mosquito fleet that comes out of here you know, folks look for whistle buoy, they listen for whistle buoy, and it's a really important thing to keep open from a safety perspective. So we've preserved a lot of crabbing opportunities here. Again, this is an inshore SMR, and this is an offshore salmon trolling only SMCA. So we preserve some of the salmon fishing opportunities there, while still protecting some really diverse and interesting rocky habitat. There are a lot of really interesting rocky reefs out here that we're able to protect with very high protection. At the top, you can see that kind of funky diagonal shape. That's new too, and believe it or not, that was given the blessing. In fact, it was the idea of Fish and Game. I won't say who it was.
I told you you couldn't say.
Sorry, Susan. It was just an idea, and we'll see what happens. But it does seem like a good solution to take a diagonal from the tank up to that nice lat lawn that we have. And what it does is you can see right up there is Salmon Creek, and it preserves those shore angling opportunities up there. I know they're putting in a new parking lot right up there, a new facility there, so we want to make sure that we are able to accommodate for some of the recreational shore fishing that goes on there. And that seemed like a good way to do it. So, yeah, that's about it for my portion, and I will hand it over to Josh.
All right. Pull up the red triangle. Yeah, Rick's going to do the Esteros and the southern section. I'm just going to do Point Reyes and Bolinas. Probably the most contentious, I would say, is our little areas here. Is it working? Okay, anyway, this line, we moved over to allow for access to Chimney Rock as a trade-off for losing. If you look at the 100-penny thing that the EcoTrust gave, a lot of the pennies went away, but we saved a few of them right in there. So we're allowing salmon and crab, and the squid and halibut guys get a little bit of access at Chimney Rock. Ours pushed a little farther than everybody else's. And if you blew this up a little bit, you see that we Emerald gave away a lot more, or preserved a lot more, depending on your perspective. Okay. Anyway, my entire lagoon is closed now. Anyway, this one here I had designed one myself for this whole area up in here as a low socioeconomics. But thanks to Karen Garrison and others who got creative, this one here allows for sport salmon and crab, but commercial salmon, crab, and halibut, which allows for a little bit of Bolinas to have a little bit, for the three guys left in Bolinas, to have a little bit of halibut access. And the line that we have that's Fish and Game doesn't like, a long double point there for the full reserve, allows for the salmon tack. That's very, very important. Because the way salmon fishing works, you set your gear at a certain depth. And so you want to stay, and that's what that line does, approximates a depth. And we suggested putting buoys during the salmon season to mark it, to make it clear for everybody. But, you know, we'll see. And the SMR above it is crab and, this SMCA above it is crab and salmon for both recreational and commercial. So with that, I turn it over to Rick. Oh, I get to do the islands too. Okay, let's go out to the islands. Yeah. We're going to leave this strip is already protected at Duxbury Reef, and putting that in there kind of tidies up the, there's some loopholes in commercial harvest of invertebrates. And be nice to tidy that up. So nobody's capitalized on it yet, but, you know, times are tough. So anyway, out to the islands. So as you can see, we did a little horse trading on the north side because it was determined, at least from observations, that this northern, the North Islands is a more important forage area
for some reason there's more a collection of more life up there. So it was more important to have that be a full reserve, and we gave, for every little bit we got, we gave up there, we took some in here, because this is a incredibly important salmon. So as you can see, we kind of, it was all red, and then it started getting blue, got a little bigger and a little bigger, but I think that, because the salmon, it came out, salmon aren't always at the Farallones, but when they are, you know, it's been 15 years, they're due to come back. And it would be nice to be able to catch them there if they ever did show back up. So, I think we debated this more than any other. We kind of left it off the table a lot because we kept going around and around and around and never got anywhere. But that's where we came to today. So, anyway.
Let's go to Fitzgerald. So we also wrestled with the different alternatives, and we decided that the best solution to accomplish the different goals we were trying to achieve was to put the SMR below the SMCA rather than parallel to shore. So the SMR takes the current Fitzgerald Reserve boundary, actually goes up to about the Montara Light, and extends it out roughly 2 miles to a latitude line. And the upper area is an SMCA that allows salmon trolling, crab harvest, and wet fish, including squid. And part of the dilemma that we were trying to solve is that the squid fishing is in very close to shore, so having the SMR along shore was a problem for the local fishermen. The other thing we did is we didn't extend it all the way out because there is a trawl area. The shipping channel is actually farther out now, but there's a trawl area. So recreational crab occurs here and salmon trolling occurs here. So we just terminated with a north-south boundary. And then I think next we're going to go through the estuaries. And we could just pop up back up to the top again. We talked about the Russian River, but the next down would be in Tomales Bay. And we have the South Tomales Bay SMR MA, which protects an eelgrass bed. There's an existing tidal marsh. This tan area here, which is currently pasture, is going to be a very big wetland restoration, very important new habitat. There's also some tidewater goby areas in here. So the tidal marsh is going to extend all the way down into here. And then we added one up in the north part of the bay, a small one, to take a portion of the clam and seal island. These are areas where there's been heavy harvesting of clams over the years. And at the south end of the islands, there's also harbor seal colonies. And we discussed quite a bit how to divide it up. And what we ended up was that particular segment, which takes a portion of the islands and preserves that for allowing some natural conditions for the shellfish. And then it also covers the harbor seal colonies. So that's one that's perhaps different from the others. We had Bolinas Lagoon, I think, was mentioned. Drake's Estero is similar to the others, as is the two Esteros on Bodega Bay. So I think that's it.
Thanks, and again, congratulations to your team for working so hard in achieving convergence. So I want to make an observation. The four proposals that you've just heard are all come to you as a result of a lot of hard work and convergence, and a lot of giving and taking and horse trading and seeking solutions. So there is one more proposal or package that we need to hear about, but I see Sean White is very eager to weigh in. So Sean, go ahead.
So I'm just curious, so did the B and C's that came out of the J, do those supersede the outside B and C's, or are those still in existence?
Outside B and C, if it wasn't made explicit, are essentially subsumed by their successor in J. They are not going forward.
Okay, I got it. That's all.
That's how the convergence was achieved.
So we have four, not six.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
Yeah, I get it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a very, very good four from that set.
We actually have five, though.
So there is one other proposal A that Dave Yarger put on the table, and it's been a little bit of a moving target as to its status. And as I just said, the other four you just heard about arrive today as a result of convergence. Dave, you have some comments to make, and I know that Ken has some comments to make as well. So let's hear from you, Dave, and then I think Ken has some advice about going forward. Please don't do that.
Okay. First of all, I want to know how we are on time. If I make this really, really, really short, can we go home early?
It's likely that we can, although I think Mary wants to keep turquoise after class.
Okay. It may not appear on the surface that there wasn't much effort put into our proposal, but our organization spent a lot of time on it. At this juncture, the fact that we haven't been eliminated and we didn't find any option that met all of our needs, we've come across a few areas that meet most of our needs, we're going to keep our proposal on the table until it can be analyzed thoroughly by the SAT. And our position stands on the social economic impacts it will have against the commercial fishing industry. That's all I have to say.
Ken.
First, let me point out that your proposal has been analyzed by the SAT, and it did not change at all. And as the kind of the referee and time clock keeper here, and the one looking at allocation of resources, and as one who I think we've all tried real hard to make sure that the considerations for A were put before all of you, I think many of you did work a lot of Dave's concerns in, and the fact that we have converged and we don't have external package or a fisherman's package, I think is a very positive place to be. I am concerned that a package that's already been analyzed, that's basically not been accepted, is not a good allocation of our resources. And I would rather, and I would suggest to you, but I think it's the choice of this group, that it would be better to have four packages that all represent your internal negotiations and two external groups that merged, and that would be a healthier allocation and use of our resources, and that obviously Dave's people will continue to be involved and have been involved and have been reflected in these merged packages. And I would encourage you to think about getting to four.
So, Ken, you just, again, underscored that we have four packages that represent negotiation and convergence, and one that had some perhaps before, but it's kind of qualitatively different. And you're asking for members of the RSG to comment and weigh in on this point. Is that correct?
Well, and I think too that we've had analysis. I mean, I think part of the reason Dave was not able to find as much convergence because his very well prepared package and does not meet the guidelines and comes up in a position that we are going to clearly look at it and say that is the bottom, that is the least lacking. And I don't know that that's healthy for your process. I think it's better for you to exchange back and forth. I also look at the amount of resources, the sheer amount of paper that we will do for and use for a project that we're pretty certain isn't going to go forward. That is my opinion. I offer that to you as the stakeholder group to have a discussion, and I think that it's phenomenal what we watched unfold here in the last 2 days. I think the external package detracts from that, and that we will have a healthier discourse by not having external packages, but rather having a stakeholder process where hopefully we'll get it down to even fewer options and give the task force and the commission a stronger proposal.
Okay, thanks. So we had hoped not to have to resort to the straw vote, and what I think I hear Ken asking for is, if not a straw vote, at least a set of statements from the members of the RSG about their preferences in going forward and how to handle this set of now draft proposals that we have. So I have Fred, Ben, Karen, and Ed Tavasieff, and I'm sure there will be others. Fred.
I guess just to echo Ken's comments, I think that all the outside proposals were originally vetted by the scientific advisory team. Outside proposal A made no changes in response to that. I feel like seeing the convergence around externals B and C gives an indication that the proponents of those proposals, who are not necessarily at this table, but through consultation and effort, went through great efforts to try to converge around the internal proposals, made a really good faith effort in that case. On top of that, those external proposals, after scientific advisory team analysis, also made changes, and so those external proposals have shown a good faith effort to really try and account for more and more scientific considerations and socioeconomic in terms of a balancing act. And I just don't see, I know, Dave, you made attempts to talk to other groups to incorporate outside proposal A's ideas, and I guess it just seems like the odd one out, and it meets none of the scientific advisory team guidelines. So I guess I would just agree with Ken Wiseman's sentiments that we take a straw poll. I personally think that I'd rather go forward with four strong ones as far as options.
Okay. So we may wind up doing a straw vote around that question this afternoon. Ben.
I guess I have a little different perspective. I think it'd be a shame to not have it in there, but I do agree in a sense that, it maybe could have changed a little. But something that none of you are mentioning or realizing or caring to take into consideration is that we had an oil spill. Commercial crabbers were shut down. They got a chance to go back to work, and they had 20-foot surf. These external proposals were due a week, 10 days in advance of this meeting. And, they literally had a day or two. And I know this because they contacted me to ask me for input on certain areas. And at that point in time, we had about, 12 hours to get something submitted, for you guys to make changes, at least based on what you were hearing from me. And you know what? These guys were taking advantage of a little short weather window, and they went fishing. So you've got different timelines set up for the external proposals. Okay, fine, but just recognize here that you're asking a hell of a lot right now, and I don't know, since you only have one external proposal still hanging around, maybe you make an exception here and try to find a way to give them a little bit of time and make some changes, because there's some good things in their proposal. To just simply throw it out now, I think it's a mistake.
Ben, thanks very much. Ed Tavasieff, and then Karen.
Thank you. Realizing what the fact that it's been evaluated as of yet, or has been evaluated by SAT and gone through the process thus far, and realizing also that there's always an outside chance that something could change in SAT evaluations, whatever, socioeconomic acceptance, whatever. But just out of the plain fact and of respect to our fellow RSG member, if that is the wish of the concerned individuals, considering there are a lot of people backing this particular proposal, I think we should adopt to keep it.
In the pool of up to not more than five.
Not more than five, yeah. No, absolutely okay. Not.
Karen.
Well, I guess I thought that the guidelines we were working under was that we had to converge to stay out of the pool, and if we didn't converge, then we were subject to a vote. I might have misunderstood that. But I think the bigger issue for me is that I have a lot of respect for Dave. I would never want to be in a position of having to vote against a proposal of his for any reason. But I would much rather be working with him in a converged alternative. I think he's been an incredibly constructive and good player in the JADE group,
And so I'd rather have him with us all than representing a proposal that doesn't meet the guidelines and sticking there.
So blending rather than being separate. Craig, and then Dave himself wants to come back in. Craig, Marylise.
I think the problems that have are clear with the proposal, I mean, mainly that it doesn't qualify, it doesn't meet the criteria, minimal criteria for consideration. And that, I think that pretty much says it. On the other hand, I agree with Ben about the problems that the fishermen have been through in the past couple months, especially in the past couple weeks. And that's totally real. And I think what I wondered is whether or not it might be possible to show a little discretion and give Dave a chance to talk with his constituency, because I think more than anything, that's what he needs to do. And I haven't had a chance, Dave, to ask, you know, whether you've had time to do that or not. But if you haven't, that's the most important thing, that he have a chance to sit down, to tell folks about what happened at this meeting, to help them understand what it means that the science advisory team evaluated the proposal and said that it fails to meet the qualifications, and to walk people through that process so that Dave can preserve his standing with that group. And if there were a way for him to have a chance to have those conversations and then get back, I don't know whether you've expressed an opinion, Dave, about, you know, what you're recommending to the group or not, but I would certainly be more than willing to give you some additional time to have that conversation and then maybe communicate with the staff. I'm pretty confident that once you have that conversation and go through the process, people will understand that, you know, you have a... The better option would probably be to withdraw at this point, given the facts. But I think the most important thing is for you to have that talk with your folks and to ask folks to chop off that and prevent that, not have time for that conversation to go forward, I think would just be a process mistake. And while just a little extra discretion, I think, would help if we could do that.
And Craig, this is a creative idea, and just to, if you don't mind, just to push on your idea for half a tick more, the suggestion would be to explore the discretion of withdrawing it in light of the various other proposals going forward in the SAT evaluation. Would that be the conversation you would imagine that would be had? Is that what you're suggesting? Yeah.
I think we ought to talk with Dave or hear from Dave about, you know, what...
Okay.
Whether he's had a chance.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave.
I have not the knowledge... For me to take a position representing 175 fishing families in Bodega Bay to say that I will withdraw or push this process forward, I will say this, that I was committed to my people to put this proposal on the floor and to carry it as far as I can. I started the morning saying that I was able to blend, but as the proposals hit the screen today, I didn't see it mentioned one time that we took into consideration what a proposal was doing to help their process. Everybody that's talked to me knows that I've made movement that I would be able to blend, and I'm not saying at this point that I can't, but I really think that we need a little more time for me to analyze it and to get to my people. Like Ben said, we have fishermen that are concerned with this process right now that are out in the ocean trying to make a living in a very short window to do that. And all I'm asking at this point is to not pull me off of the floor and give us some time to come up with a proper format. And I think if we present our proposal in the same manner that some of the other proposals were presented, that we can show a lot closer conformity to the goals and objectives of what we needed in our proposal. And that's all I do is ask for some time at this point. And I am flexible. I'm not gonna pack up my shopping cart here and leave. I'm gonna still work with the process, but I would really like to have people consider leaving us on the table. There's room for it. You know, we've gotten down to our five, and if it isn't a major strain on the I team, I would still like us to stay on board.
Okay. Did you want to weigh in? So I have Bob Wilson, Francesca, and Henry. Thank you, Dave, very much for your comments, and Fred again.
And I would say to Dave that when he speaks with those families up there, that he tell them about the fact that we did take A into account. Between the first C and the second C, we took Tamales Bluff off as a proposed altogether. We significantly changed the Bodega Head proposal, taking into account safety concerns and the fishing concerns that were there. And so I can say on the Emerald Group that as we went through these proposals, when we looked at each particular area, we always looked at all the proposals, all the external proposals, including A, and took into account what we talked with some of you and your people in. But even between first C and second C, there was significant change based on your A proposal. So it wasn't the fact that nobody considered any of your views that were there. That wasn't accurate.
So, Bob, you can trace revisions in your proposal directly back to consulting with David. David, just a follow-up question for you in what you were just saying a moment ago. Are you wanting the SAT to evaluate again the same proposal that they already evaluated, or are you asking to keep the proposal in to revise it to change it some way?
I guess at this point I would like to have SAT and this stakeholder group now give us enough time to work ours over to where we can meet more of your objectives and goals. Is that fair?
What do you think would be a reasonable amount of time to make a revision if you were to do that?
Without sounding like a clown, probably till the wind blows, quite frankly, because that's when I can get my people off the ocean.
Yeah.
I know it puts a burden on this group, but I have personal feelings out of the whole process, and it's different than what I'm representing right now. I want you to know that.
Okay. Let's hear from a few more folks, and I think IT members are thinking hard as this conversation goes along. Francesca?
I think this is more a question of it would seem a waste of time and energy to say we're going to take the same A and evaluate it and come out with the same answer because it didn't meet the first time, so if it doesn't change, it's not going to meet the second time. I do think that every one of us sitting here would want to have the same consideration that Dave is asking for if he does want to actually go back and change and accommodate the feedback that he's received from the SAT. I'd also like to add that the very first thing that we did as Turquoise was sit for half an hour and listen exclusively to Dave and Proposal A. So to say that we did not consider it is not accurate. In fact, we gave it the top priority. I'm sorry to say that it didn't meet with some of the other goals and objectives that we've been asked to meet as a stakeholder group, but we absolutely gave it priority, attention, and consideration. And everyone here is working towards trying to juggle and balance all sorts of parameters. You can't do this, you can do that. And in all of those things, what surfaces is where we all can meet and intersect. And I'm sorry, Dave, we didn't intersect with the perfect A, but it's not for not trying. We definitely all have tried, and we all looked at it.
Thank you, Francesca. Henry. So I have, here's my cue. I have Henry, Fred, Kellex, Karen Garrison, Jay, and Tom Estes. Go ahead.
Okay.
Samantha.
I'd also like to echo how much attention we paid to Dave's visit to our group and how much of what he proposed we put into our proposal. There are significant changes to what we had originally that came out of A. Given the weather and the job requirements of the commercial fishing fleet, I think it's only reasonable that we give them some time to come back with a modified proposal.
So, Henry, I hear two messages from you. One is, yes, Dave, we did hear and take you seriously, and we tried to incorporate ideas. I also hear you saying you're friendly to the idea of a little more time to revise and respond. Fred?
I guess I was, as most of you know, I was not originally signed on to any outside proposal. But I think considering the good faith effort that members of outside proposals B and C made to try and incorporate and converge into the inside proposals, and maybe making concessions that maybe maybe felt even a little uncomfortable with, but nonetheless went along with under the idea that this was a good faith effort to try and have real convergence and buy-in from the regional subgroups. I think some of those outside proposal folks might want to say, well, let's keep our outside proposals in as well. And so if A is going to stay in as an outside proposal, then we may need to consider some of those other ones as well. Because you know, J, C, and D did make a number of changes to those outside proposals. So if proposal A stays in, I think the others deserve the same consideration.
Which would certainly take us backwards in our efforts to winnow. Yeah, Kellex.
Well, first, I'd like to thank Dave for educating our group and spending the time with us. But along those lines, I wanted to point out that none of the other external proposals did that. They didn't have exclusive time with each group to go basically review the arrays of each group and give their comments on it. I did find that Dave's feedback and comments on ours were useful and informative. I feel very strongly that we incorporated a lot of that. And we went through each one with him and said, you know, Dave, what do you think? Can you live with that? What do you think of this? And spent that time with him, and he gave us some good feedback. And I think that there were a number of us in our group who were actually surprised at the amount of convergence that we had already had with his plan and made some changes that, as Bob said, can be demonstrated, can be traced based on his input. It is true, however, that we did not change our array to look like his. But there were some compromises.
Thanks, Kellex. Jay.
Yeah, I'd like just to say as a lifetime fisherman, I understand that right now the guys are fishing every day, 7 days a week. When the weather's good, you have to make it while you can. In the sport industry, it's the same way. We did use pieces, and we did take consideration of some of the comments that you made. I would say if you talk to your guys and they actually come back with a change, you know, in the proposal that makes, you know, that's with the same as everyone else has compromised, then I'd say give you time to talk to the guys and get something in, because I do understand you have to. I've been doing this a long time, a lot of years on the water, and I do understand the family. Fishing families. So I just want to say, you know, I would be into giving them time.
So I have Karen, Tom, Estes, Samantha, and back to Dave. And so I hear kind of two different messages. One is, and Ed Tavasieff, one is, we had a process. We tried to take your ideas into account. We really did earnestly consider them. We're sorry they don't exactly mirror yours. And that's the process. The other message I hear is there were extenuating circumstances out of respect. If you really commit to making revisions, maybe we should entertain that. So I'm hearing those two different messages, and of course you don't all have both messages. Karen.
Yeah, Dave, I would just ask you, when you present this issue to your organization, that you make clear that the JC folks not only listened to you, but actually made a series of changes, including the ones at Bodega that Bob mentioned. Every single SMCA in that proposal now below Bodega allows crab, not because we thought it was going to be good for protection. In fact, it lowered the protection. but we were willing to live with that in order to address your constituency's concerns. And it was a big decision to do that. We also changed the shape of areas and the levels of protection at the Farallons to make sure more salmon was allowed. We changed the area at Duxbury to make sure salmon was allowed. We have crab at Point Reyes, at Duxbury. What's the other one? Somewhere else. Fitzgerald. So I just hope that you present that story to your constituents, because we care about your constituents, and we really are, from the bottom of our hearts, trying to address their concerns.
Okay. I have Tom Estes, Dave, and Ed Devasiev. Tom.
Yeah, I just want to say that the fishermen, both sports and commercials on the turquoise group, I think did an adequate job of trying to incorporate his concerns in our decisions.
Thanks, Tom. Dave.
I guess at this point I have to apologize for saying that my efforts went in vain, because it's quite obvious that they didn't, and I appreciate that. What I was getting at mostly was the fact that I didn't see that presented in the presentations, and I guess I went past that. So if I made the statement that I didn't think anybody was listening to me, I apologize for that.
Good. Thanks. Evidently, everybody has been trying hard to listen. Ed Devasiev.
Yes, given the comments that are emerging today, I'm still wondering if, with all the recent changes within all the proposals here now, and given the condition and the situation that Dave is in, would it be possible for us to afford him some time to take this back to his own, the Bodega Fishermen's Marketing Association, and have them review this with all the new information, and perhaps in light of that, realizing that he has already had an evaluation and the status of his evaluation, can present that to his group, and then realize that perhaps there may be, in fact, within our proposals now, something that would actually work for the group.
Interesting suggestion. So as you outline it, Ed, Dave would take this back. He would have more time, but perhaps a conclusion that Dave would reach with his constituency is that the ideas are well represented within the other proposals going forward.
Yes, and also to take and review our current proposals as they are now, since obviously they have not had a chance to review them as we obviously have.
So take back the whole set.
Take the whole set back, let them look at everything and realize the position of their proposal, and reconsider the fact that perhaps we do have something here that they can live with and that would work. Dave is put in a very hard position here right now. He's told to take it to the limit, and that's his directive at this point, without any further consultation from his board, from the members of the Bodega Bay Fishermen's Association. At least allow him the courtesy and the dignity and the respect to be able to do that. This is a process where we have to involve all people. He is involved. He's a very integral part. Commercial fishing is a very integral part of this whole process. It stands to lose and be affected the most of anyone. If anyone's giving anything or losing anything, it's the commercial fishermen.
Good. Ed, thanks very much. Very thoughtful suggestion. Samantha, and then Sean.
Yeah. Dave, you and I have talked a lot over the last few months, I feel like. I was just going to say that, actually. When you came into Emerald last night, I made a joke, and I said, so, Dave, are you in here to woo us, or are we trying to woo you? And I know you didn't maybe like the joke, but that's kind of our Emerald way. I was serious, though. I wanted to know if you were coming in trying to see if ours was something you might blend in with, or if you were looking for us to change ours to try to blend in with A. We did. We spent a half an hour or so going through from north to south and looking at some of the differences in the proposals. And where I kind of came up feeling stumped is that, you know, at the end of the day, I felt like our group had a sincere interest in trying to meet the SAT guidelines, to come up with a proposal that had legs, and we knew to do that we had to meet the guidelines that the SAT had given to us, had handed down to us, because we knew that the task force wasn't going to approve anything that didn't meet those guidelines. We may not like them, but that's the fact, and I think we all want something that we feel okay about, that we feel like we can have some control over once it leaves us. And so that was where I came up feeling like we kind of hit a wall, because I didn't know if that's what I was hearing from you. I felt like what I heard from you is that the number one consideration of your proposal, at least last night at that time, was, you know, to preserve fishing and to protect, you know, the rights of fishermen. And so it sounds like maybe you're saying something different today. I mean, and if you're saying that, you know, you want to go back to your 170 families, to your 170 guys, and see if there's a way to improve the proposal in earnest, with goals of actually, you know, protecting habitat and species, meeting the SAT guidelines, as well as protecting some fishing opportunities. I mean, if that's what you're saying in earnest, then I'd be interested, because I feel like that would be a departure from what I heard last night. So I guess that's my question for you.
Dave, go ahead.
Can I respond?
Yeah, please.
From the very first time I turned on this microphone in these meetings, I said that I was going to stand firm on against any proposal that would adversely affect the social economic values of the commercial fishermen. I would be sitting here with my head in a sack if I thought that I was going to be able to accomplish that goal. But I'm going to live and die by the fact that I'm going to do everything I can to protect the commercial fishing industry. I know I'm going to have to make concessions. I just want to have a time to work it out with my people to do that. And that's as far as I can go with this. If I've misrepresented things, I vacillate like everybody else does. My nickname used to be Waffler.
We didn't learn that when we did the interview with you, Dave.
I told the Blue Ribbon Task Force, I told SAT, and they asked me directly, Dave, is there room for you to come off of your proposal? And anybody that went to the meetings or heard me say it here, as I said, yes. And I'm still striving to do that. I guess I'm being hard-headed or something about this. We will come up with a proposal that will blend in with other groups here. We will do that, but all I'm asking is I'd need the time to do that, and I don't want to have to withdraw my proposal right now to go to take that step. That's all I ask.
So Samantha asked you if something is different today than it was last night when you went into the, which group was that? Emerald. So what do you think? Is it different? What's different?
I'll ask Samantha, have I ever gotten off the social economic tack? Have I?
No.
Okay, good. We've established that.
And that's the direction I've taken from our association. I was backed up by EcoTrust. They're Penny,
100 penny, yeah,
100 penny thing, and that's where we stand. If you can throw that out, if you're going to throw the social economic values out of this process, well, then I don't have a leg to stand on, and I can say that up front.
Yeah, well, of course, we're not throwing them out, but as many people have said, the MLPA has many other core objectives that are reflected in the SAT evaluation, and the question that you're hearing from different people in different ways is, do you think you can respond more directly and more meaningfully to the SAT guidelines given a little more time in meeting with your constituency? And I thought I
answered that question when I said yes, I would be able to. All I have to do is go back to my group and say we hit the wall. Guys, now what do you want to do? But I'm not in a position myself to make that statement today, and I think it would only be fair for me to do that to my people.
Thanks, Dave. Sean?
Just a couple things. You know, I mean, really, even from someone whose job isn't nearly as seasonally and weather affected as these guys, you know, the pace of this process is pretty darn fast, and just sifting through the 8 zillion emails I get a day takes a long time. You know, for a group that right now, this time of year, you know, for lack of a better term, is going asses and elbows, they don't have time to dig through all that crap, to figure it out, to get their group together. It seems to me, with this being the peak of their season, with the uncertainty that some of the guidelines that have already been used to analyze it still aren't 100% buttoned down, some of those may change. The fact that the changes are probably going to be de minimis anyway, the fact that we've already made it far enough down the winnowing process, and really the fact that these are the guys that out of anybody that's going to feel the pinch of whatever happens here more than any other constituency, I think it would really do the credibility of the whole process a lot of disservice to not even let the commercial fisherman's voice make it to the next round. I just think throwing it under the bus right now because they couldn't catch up with a bunch of office work during the fishing season is not cool. And the overall amount of extra work that it's going to generate, you know, I would just say get over it. You know, you're talking about their livelihood, and if someone was going to take away my livelihood and it meant making a few extra copiers, I'd buy you some toner. You know, just I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think if we want to really preserve the credibility of this whole deal, we should at least give the guys that are going to take the biggest beating in this whole thing a little extra time during the peak of their season.
Thanks, Sean. We have several more folks who want to weigh in. Craig, Phil, Fred, Ken, Bill, and Ellen. Craig. No, he passed. Phil.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little perspective about his timeline for getting back to his constituency. I can definitely appreciate the position he's in and not being able to speak to anybody because they're out at sea basically just making hay while the sun shines. But the ocean's been flat for a few days, and in December here on the North Coast, what I think she's saying is that the wind is coming soon. So they'll be in before too long, and he'll be able to talk to them.
Point, Phil, well said. Fred.
I just wanted to say I agree with what Scott mentioned earlier, and this has been a really sped up process. I think we all feel that. I think all of the outside folks in the outside proposals probably felt that way as well. I also want to give your folks the time to make those changes if everyone here agrees that that's what we need to do. But I do also want to point out that there are commercial representatives in all of the RSG subgroups. So you're not ignoring considerations of commercial folks by allowing more time. I feel like myself and many other people have gone to great lengths to listen to a lot of the commercial concerns, and you see that in these proposals. I guess I just feel like, you know, a lot of decisions as far as Jade's convergences without the outside proposals were made very quickly as well. And it just seems if you're going to give outside a proposal the chance to go back to their constituency and go over the options and see what changes might need to be made, I once again just want to reiterate that I think that outside B and C proposals deserve the same.
Yeah. That's a very good point on a couple of levels. I mean, it's been fast for everyone, and everyone has been struggling to keep up with the pace. What we're really trying to decide today is which proposals remain the platform for further work. And so the Jades C and D go forward after today. The Turquoise goes forward. The Emerald goes forward. We're trying to figure out if what happens to Proposal A. So without a doubt, Fred, the proposal you worked on today goes forward and is, you know, a focus for further work. I'm sorry?
No, what I was saying was, I mean, that there were a number of changes that were made to that proposal to become Jade C. Or Jade, is it Jade C? I can never tell anymore. A number of changes were made to that proposal from the outside
fair
proposal
enough,
originally.
Fair enough.
That was my...
Understood.
And a lot of people were consulted in that process by phone very quickly to say, are you willing to make these changes, knowing that I think they all had the impression that the only proposals going forwards were convergent ones. But I may be wrong on that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thanks. Ken.
Yeah, I have very mixed feelings about this because, as you all know, I've riled time and again about the time of the process, an occasional email message. So I do have very mixed feelings about this. At the same time, as far as Emerald, I know that we did give a lot of consideration to the presentation and did make some changes, and it sounds like the other groups also did the same thing. having said that, I can understand the problem they had having a timely fashion to revise their proposal. All I would suggest is that if we do give them permission to revise that proposal, that we set a fairly short timeline. They have to get that back to us in, I don't know if 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, but probably more like 2 weeks at the max, I would think. The other thing, there are upcoming meetings in the region, and I'm wondering if instead of forwarding a proposal as a proposal that requires a lot of time and thought on the time of the SAT team, that if it would be possible to come back at one of those local meetings up north. I think there's one at Gualala. I'm not sure if there's one at Bodega Bay or not. But come back at that meeting with your thoughts, because my understanding is that the public thoughts at all of these meetings is taken into consideration. It may not be a formal proposal, but those things do help drive and the decisions that are made. And so perhaps instead of a formal proposal going forward today, that simply they could come to one of those meetings with their revisions and submit it at that time for consideration by the different people.
Interesting suggestion. And as you point out, the public comments and testimony have been directly reflected in some of the revised proposals. Bill.
Yeah, Dave, it's a little hard for me just representing a mono recreational fishery. What I did see today was a lot of convergent and divergence of different, the groups coming together, and your ideas were reflected into it. My gut asking to you is really, you know those guys, and any changes you make to your proposals from this point on is seriously going to affect your socioeconomic. Do you think you have room to move?
May I respond? Yeah, and I've made that point clear from the very first that we have flexibility, and we'd have to have flexibility, or I'd just get up and walk out of here right now. I just want to get a chance to exercise our opportunities on that.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Ellen.
Okay.
Well, another suggestion. What about if, and we're kind of looking at our time schedule here, what about if we did allow Dave an opportunity to go back to his constituency? He would take a message to that constituency that, look, folks, it looks like A is just not going to get any further. It doesn't meet the SAT guidelines. We can continue to champion it, but we will ultimately have to fold our flag. So that's one message he should, I think, relay to his constituency. But I think he should also have the opportunity to admit and convey that there was some absorption of ideas and concerns from external A that were folded into the other proposals. It would be nice for him to be able to take a copy of the shapes and the regs for the four other proposals to his group to be able to do a little bit of show and tell. And I think we should, maybe consider the idea of giving him until maybe January 7th or something like that. It's before the first, before the next SAT meeting. The SAT's not going to be looking at evaluations and proposals at that point anyway, but perhaps they would have begun the evaluation process. And if they have begun that evaluation process, then his coming in a little bit later could just get staged for evaluation a little bit later. So if we gave them a target of January 7th for Dave to go back to his constituency and say, look, it looks like external A isn't going to fly. Here are the other four proposals that are out there that we can kind of briefly review, and then give them the options basically of saying, no, we still want to keep external A on the table. B, we want to instead take A off the table, but accept one of these others in their entirety, absolutely converge. Or C, do a mix and match of the four with building blocks from each of those four, picking the ones that seem least advantageous to them, but then we would have had the socioeconomic and SAT analyses for each of those shapes as part of the other evaluations. So either sticking with A, absolutely going with one of the others, or mix and match with one of the others, but not changing the shapes of the regs. And get that by January 7th.
Creative idea. That's good. That's a lot of good food for thought. What we want to do is take a couple more comments, then the I-team wants to call a break, and the I-team is going to caucus, and we'll come back and try and resolve a way forward. Dave Schaub.
Well, this piggybacks on yours, Ellen, maybe. What if when Dave went back to his group, he had representatives of emerald, jade, and turquoise, preferably the commercial interests that were on those groups, go back and help Dave explain what went on here in the last 2 days so that Dave doesn't have to be the only person having to explain what compromises were already made and how tough that was to be made.
And it would be somewhat similar to the way that the I-team members went to the public meeting in Point Arena, the same kind of diplomatic work, as it were. The very, very creative idea also. I have Ben Sleater and Josh. Ben.
Just a quick clarification. Fred made a comment about allowing more time for the other external proposals. I can speak on behalf of external proposal B. That's not necessary. What we were able to come up with is, you know, the convergence is acceptable. We don't need to go back and revisit it. I think Dave's got extenuating circumstances that I'm not going to pretend to also realize, although okay. I do have a full-time job myself.
Yes, you do. Thank you, Ben. Josh and Francesca, then we're going to call a break. Or Kellex, okay. Ben will call a break.
Well, at the risk of stating the obvious, not only will the wind blow eventually, but a lot of people in this room have resources that the fishermen do not have. And asking us to be articulate, networked, connected, you know, we all have our gifts, and we all have our assets, and to ask the fishermen, especially at this time of year, to get it all together and come in under a certain timeline, I don't know. I'd like to see you guys exercise some flexibility like you were asking us to do.
So,
thanks, Josh. If I could just offer my services, I'd be glad to help with the GIS technical side, drawing it in a GIS if that helps you guys or anybody else.
I'd be very happy to be right there, too.
Thank you.
Right there with you.
Thank you both very much for that. Francesca.
I think that everyone here in spirit thinks that we should allow more time for Dave and let him caucus with his folks. And I think it's a great idea to take the four proposals that we know are moving forward and give them that as a reference so they can see where they can move. I think it's also just important to keep in mind that as we're setting a model and a precedent for how the rest of this process runs and how it needs to incorporate input and accountability to all user groups, that if somebody else was in a position where they needed some more time and they wanted to have consideration, that be shared equally. And obviously Ben has already dismissed that request, so I just think that we need to be fair to all participants.
Yes, process fairness is obviously a big deal for us, and we're paying a lot of attention to that. Thanks, Francesca. Kellex.
Completely unrelated, before we break, I wanted to let people know that my best friend is a chocolatier, and she made these little marine creature chocolates for you all.
Oh.
And, and you can even eat the little treasure chest is made of chocolate. And if I can make a shameless plug for her, I can also say that she makes fishing boats and pirate ships out of gingerbread.
But it's not unrelated, because it will put us in a good mood. Thank you, Kellex. Let's take a 5 to 10 minute break. We'd like to ask the RSG to take their seats. The I-team believes we have a way forward here. So, sorry for the extended break. As you know, the I-team spends a lot of time trying to think about process fairness, and we want to recognize and honor the very hard work that all of the work teams made. Is Dave in the room right now, by the way? Okay, good. We want to recognize and honor the good faith effort that all of these both internal proponents and external proponents made to converge, to confer, and to really coordinate with their constituency. So here is what we want to suggest. First of all, the proposals that have arrived at convergence will be presented to the BRTF as internal draft RSG proposals, and they will be numbered 1 through 4. So it will be very clear that these are internal proposals. At the same time, recognizing the extenuating circumstances faced by Dave and his constituents, what we want to propose is for Dave to meet with his constituents and have a conversation about doing one of the following. Either looking at the other proposals, deciding that their interests are well represented there, and withdrawing Proposal A, or alternatively modifying Proposal A significantly to respond to the set of guidelines. So the MLPA Act, the feasibility guidelines, and of course socioeconomics. And we want to encourage that this effort be accompanied by members of the RSG. We want to set a deadline of January 2nd, that's 3 weeks from now, for this conversation to happen. And we the I-team, are prepared to stretch and provide the extra resources for that to happen. We also acknowledge and recognize that one of the great interests of the Blue Ribbon Task Force is asking, so who participated in this proposal? And our very strong expectation is that the BRTF will give great weight to the converged proposals because, in fact, they represent a great deal of give and take on this RSG. And for that reason, the revised Proposal A will be represented as an external proposal, external to the RSG process, because it did not come from this very intensive RSG process. So that is the way forward that the I-team wants to propose. We think it takes account of process fairness. We think it takes account of convergence. We think it gives the right weight to the converged proposal, and it also acknowledges the extenuating circumstances, gives Dave 3 weeks of time, resources, and the pledge and offer of RSG support that you heard around the table. So that's what the I-team is prepared to suggest and recommend. Dave?
I greatly appreciate your direction on this, and I this gives me time to get back to my people. I have one request. We have people in our organization that are computer illiterate. If I could get into my hands a hard copy today of the four proposals that are on the floor, I would really appreciate that. So as soon as I can. You can mail it to me or whatever, but with that tool, I can really explain to everybody what we're going to have to do here.
Okay, so we can do that. We can't do it today, but we can do it quickly. Just to be crystal clear, the revised proposal or the notice of intent to withdraw is due at noon on January 2nd. So that's the deadline.
I guarantee you we will meet that deadline.
Okay.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This was...
The party will be at my house.
This was a non-trivial conversation by the I-team. You may have noticed we had a rather heated and extensive huddle. So we think this is a fair way forward, and we definitely drew from the many good ideas that we heard from all of you. So with that, we have other preparations going forward, and we really need to identify leads for the four internal to the RSG proposals to continue to refine them, to shepherd them, to carry forward. And we acknowledge that there may be different players in the mix now. We might not necessarily have the same co-leads. In fact, certainly we won't, because the Jade Group is changing its configuration, and there's different kind of alignment there. So, Eric, you had some thoughts you wanted to share on that front.
Yes. In the very near term, some of the four converged packages still require to give information on the goals and objectives, and we are requesting that we receive those from each of these four converged arrays by the 19th, next Wednesday. And so what I'd like to do is identify a couple of leads from each organization to serve, from each of these four converged arrays to serve as a lead for this. And it's possible that these leads will also have some other tasks involved too. We anticipate that there may be some continuing work on these four draft proposals over the coming weeks and months in advance of the March meeting. We also anticipate that there may be some efforts during this interim period also to do more convergence among them. However, anticipating while this may happen, we do need some people to serve as nodes in the near term at least that we can contact on with regard to at least the goals and objectives and perhaps other issues, for instance, making presentations in front of the SAT or the BRTF. And so are there other tasks, Mary?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that we really, this time around, I think we have a little bit more time in the evaluation process, and we want to make sure that at least the leads of each of the proposals can help us in a quality control process or QC process to review the habitat calculations and socioeconomic calculations that come out, because you all know your proposals the best and can be, I think, the best to help us identify if it seems like there's been any errors in calculations or cutting and pasting errors or whatnot. So another role of the leads would be to, you know, be available to help review spreadsheets and things like that that come out and have you be part of our QC process.
Good. So core tasks would be that QC process, helping to prepare the goals and objectives by next Wednesday, and then serving in panel discussions with the SAT or the BRTF. And so with that, could I request some nominees for the different groups? And we're going to still use the GEM names right now. So for turquoise, have Ed.
And it'd be great if we could have two.
Who would like to? Yeah, we would like to have two, please.
Francesca is not. Yes, she has a time problem there.
Okay. Is there someone who could join Ed? Sean.
I've kind of been constrained because of my teaching schedule, but finals are next Tuesday, so my schedule will be opening up. So if Turks are okay, I'll do it.
Well, it's due by next Wednesday. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. How about Emerald? Rick. So Rick and Samantha. Josh, you want to join him as a tri-captain? And Paul, we'll have three. Okay, thank you. And while Rick, Paul, and Samantha are dynamic, they're nowhere near as dynamic as the Bob and Jay show. Okay, how about the Jade C group? Karen?
I'm willing, as long as Lance? Okay, great.
Karen and Lance? Thank you.
With if we could get Jim Hobbs as backup, he's often stepped to the fore when others haven't in the past. Is that okay?
Jim's nodding. Excellent. Thank you.
Excellent.
Okay, and J.D.? Ben?
And Russ.
And Ross?
Russ.
Oh, Russ. Okay, good. Okay, thank you very much. We also have a question about sort of evolution into the use of the listservs, and we're evolving a little bit from, with our new ground rules, evolving a little bit from the work groups of the past. And I guess the question we just want to pose to you now, and we're not going to answer it, is it sounds like it would be definitely helpful to have a continuing GEM group, listserv. Would it also be helpful to have continuing listservs for these four converged proposals?
And the way we would assign numbers to these would be by a lottery. We would just pick, you know, everybody's lucky number or...
Right, and one of the reasons why we ask this is because we recognize that work group members who've been participating, for instance, in Emerald, are no longer beholden to just the Emerald group. You have the opportunity now to to switch groups or participate in multiple groups. You may want to be on multiple listservs. And so we'll go through a process to find out who's going to be on which lists, because, again, it's we're moving now. We've done a lot of workgroup work, and we're moving towards convergence among the four existing converged ones. Question, Sean.
And this is going to sound goofy, but I just now started to figure out who the emeralds were and who, you know what I mean? It's like just starting to make sense. So instead of like reshuffling it and renaming it entirely, I mean, the emeralds can still be the emeralds, and we could still be the Turks, and couldn't we just have like a Jade A, B, and or a Jade B, C, so at least I don't have to rememorize a new roster.
Okay, noted. There
are other considerations.
Yeah. Okay, and there, what? Is this a note on the listservs?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit of a test. Ben had asked that Russ be on with him, and have you talked to Russ? He's currently not here at the moment. If he does, but as my alternate, I will assign him to it and back that up.
Okay, good. So we'll for now keep the GEM listservs, but if folks have a request to be participating in multiple ones, we'll have to solicit that information from you. Final housekeeping note is we want to schedule and identify who the disturbance issue workgroup is going to be. So, Susan, I think you had a preliminary list. You want to go over that list, and we can take additional people on there, and we want to schedule the meeting that you guys will have.
And the sanctuaries have offered their office for us to meet, which will be definitely more helpful in getting them to be engaged. And I'm suggesting, and I'll talk to the ITUM about it more, but I'm suggesting that we look at exploring if the SAT can analyze these different options for bird disturbances and marine mammal disturbance issues as a separate component, a standalone that could be paired to anything, so that it doesn't hold up any analysis, and there doesn't have to be any discussion or debate about whether it's paired to, you know, to which one. And also, I think another thing is that we'll be looking at marine mammal disturbance issues as one category and bird disturbance as a separate category, because they're getting blended, and I think it's getting confusing to people. So I need a moment, actually, to pull up my list. I was focusing on the conversation and didn't pull that. Oh, could you raise your hand, actually, if you had put your name in?
I don't think I'm on the list.
I added you.
Okay, yeah, let me get these names. So.
And Karen, I had added you. Are you still fine with that?
Okay, keep the hands up, please. I want to make sure we get everybody.
I don't really have time, so I'd be happy if others are willing to
okay.
do it.
Shanti, okay. Tom. Okay.
I have all those people on that list.
I have Ed, Francesca, Bob, Irina, Jay, Shanti, Tom, Beatty.
It was Tom Beatty and Tom Matouche, both of them. And they also had brought in, there's a couple of other people that have a lot of knowledge that are not part of the RSG, one that had originally been a potential person on the RSG, and another person that we already had on the call. So we'll I'll consult with that group, but we may bring in a couple other people that have extensive knowledge too.
And Sarah Allen has volunteered to be on the group?
Yes, Sarah Allen has volunteered to participate, and also we're working with the sanctuaries to identify if they're the appropriate people to consult with from various agencies.
Okay, so Susan will be contacting those members to help organize timing for the meeting?
Yes, I am hoping that it will be in early January. And I will follow up with you all to see what dates are possible for the sanctuary office.
Did you get Bob Wilson on your list?
I did. Yes.
Yeah, hi, Bob.
And Karen Reyna.
Yes.
Okay, good. Karen Garrison, question?
Jade C had also identified things like the potential for a forage fish closure at the Farallons, but we didn't feel informed enough to do it. Can you give us some timing guidelines? And are there, I guess the first question is, can we have a couple of days to consult constituents we're trying to represent? Because, like in our case, we're trying to represent the interests of the folks in Point Arena. We certainly didn't have time to check with them before going with our proposal. So the question is, can we have a couple of days to tie up loose ends on the proposal before it's finalized? And then the other question is, what do we do about things that we left till we have more information to figure out what we want to do about them? We had some closures, bird closures, which we can wait until the committee meets, but then this forage fish thing, I'm not sure exactly what more information we'd need. I see Turquoise has a similar proposal. Is there some time by which we should act on those, or do we just leave them in some hanging folder until the next revision? What happens with that kind of thing? Maybe other people don't have things like
that. Yeah, I think, I mean, we're going to be pretty stretched to get the evaluation going before the holidays, so we kind of need to finalize things, and I think basically just kind of go through a QC with you to make sure we captured what you intended at this meeting, you know, between now and early next week. But, you know, I think one place you can keep that stuff is in the comments column in the template. It's like, you know, just keep it in capital letters. Yeah. The group is still evaluating the potential of this or that proposal.
And can we have a couple of days to consult constituents on minor line changes? Because we did some things when the Jade group was trying to work together that I want to check by people.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm obviously not going to make this decision, but I would just reflect that in the Turquoise group, and I want to thank the members of the Turquoise group for working really hard today to come up with a draft proposal that could move forward, because we had a lot of those conversations that were taking place, and we said, it's over. We're going to make a notation of this in the comment section. We know this is something we have to come back to, but we can't continue to have this dialogue if we're going to come up with something that can move forward. So we have a lot of comments in the Turquoise group in the comments section about areas that need to be reevaluated and reconsidered for that final set of proposals.
And when you say it's over, you mean it's stable for the next round of drafts?
It's just stable now for this next round of evaluations, recognizing that between now and the next the final draft or final proposals, but we'll evaluate those again.
But with Turquoise, you had everybody in the room who needed to be part of the decision, whereas the people who are trying to merge with external proposals didn't. So what I'm asking for is a couple of days to consult key people whose interests we're trying to represent and clean up lines, minor stuff, not major changes.
But how do you intend to then bring that back to the full group for discussion?
I've talked to them here and said, I'd like your authorization to move this line this much if needed to resolve this problem with this person. And they have authorized me to do that. So we've taken care of that.
Can you make that notation in the template, or did you?
I wasn't
working with you at that moment.
No, I didn't, but I can talk to Evan.
So you feel like your work group is in concurrence on this?
Yes.
And do we have any objections from the rest of the RSG to give Karen a day or two to make those final adjustments? Sounds like we don't have any objections.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they're a bounded set and you put the notation in and you have the authorization, that's pretty clean. Okay. I think it might be helpful, Ed, I know you have a question, but just let me finish my sentence. I think it might be helpful if, Melissa, if you can step through the calendar of the next meeting events that lie before us, because our next RSG member meeting is not until March, but there are many, many intervening meetings. So I know we presented those at the beginning, but I think as a reminder to all of us before we go into holiday mode, we ought to touch on those. Ed, you had a comment?
Yes, thanks, Scott. Mary, Melissa, can I get the downloadable forms of the all the proposals that have been submitted so far, so I can work with the Bodega Bay Gang?
Yeah, so essentially, you know, over the next 2 days, the staff will try to finalize the templates and the maps and then send them out to the leads to get you guys to make sure they're right. And then you can help us fill in the goals and objectives on the templates. But
but, you know, by Wednesday of next week, we should have everything back from you. We should have everything right, and then we should be able to, you know, send it out so you guys can share it. We can post it or what have you.
Okay, so we'll have a final posting, and then everyone can review it to make sure that all issues were addressed as well before it becomes submitted to BRTF.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to essentially start the evaluation process next week, so we need to make sure it's right by early next week. So by Friday, you know, we'll try to send the lead something to check and make sure we've got it right.
Very good. Thank you, Mary. Just want to wish best of the holidays to everyone.
Thank you, Ed.
So just to reconfirm, the upcoming meetings that we have scheduled at this point in time, and that recognizes that we may schedule more, obviously, the 8th of January is the next Science Advisory Team meeting, and that will be an opportunity for the Parallel Processes work group to make a full presentation to the Science Advisory Team on some of these models that they've been developing and would potentially like to recommend for parallel evaluations of the MPA proposals. There are other subjects that will be discussed, but that's the primary focus. The next meeting is on the 23rd of January, again, another Science Advisory Team meeting, and that is when the formal evaluation of these draft MPA proposals will take place. Following that, on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of February, we have tentatively scheduled public workshops. I'm sorry, 4th, 5th, and 6th of February, public workshops for Half Moon Bay, Bodega Bay, and Wallala. Those general locations. And as we discussed yesterday, that's really an opportunity for members of the public to interact with staff, regional stakeholder group members, hopefully Science Advisory Team members, regarding these proposals, the evaluations, and suggestions for additional changes. The Blue Ribbon Task Force will meet on the 13th and 14th of February. The first day is actually a joint meeting with the Fish and Game Commission. So the Fish and Game Commission and the task force members will receive presentations of these draft proposals together, and there will be an opportunity then for dialogue with those two bodies with their initial feedback. The Blue Ribbon Task Force will continue to meet on the second day for a more detailed conversation and more detailed feedback on those proposals. The region, you as a group, will meet formally in a two-day meeting on the 18th and 19th of March. We recognize that there's a good possibility we will need to set maybe a work session or two in between, or create some opportunities for these groups to come together and provide you with some GIS and planning staff support, et cetera. But those we'll have to evaluate as we move forward and the timing of those. The 18th and 19th of March is when you will develop your final proposals that you want to forward for analysis. The 3rd of April is when the Science Advisory Team will have its formal meeting to review and provide its evaluation, and the Blue Ribbon Task Force will meet on the 22nd and 23rd of April, and at that meeting is when the task force will develop its final recommendations to go to the Fish and Game Commission.
Good. So a full slate of work over the next quarter. Eric has a couple of final comments, and then I do as well.
Actually, just a couple of reminders on near-term next steps. So next Wednesday, the 19th, we're requesting to be sent to whom? The goals and objectives?
To the I-team, and we'll make sure we get them all. But we'll send the leads the templates that you can work from.
Right. And please note that you'll need to plan on your own internal review steps. So you prepare a draft, send it out to internal work group members, and then get confirmation on that, then send it to the I team. So please plan for that. January 2nd is the date that staff is requesting, if there is one, a revised external package A. And then early January, there hopefully will be a disturbance issues work group meeting.
Right. So I just want to say tremendous congratulations again to all of you. I think you really accomplished a great deal, and you wrestled with some many very challenging substantive and process questions. And I think you're in really good shape to go forward and try and develop very strong proposals as we go into the new year. So I just want to thank all of you very much. And I want to reflect that many members of the public that I spoke to privately were very impressed by the work and dedication of the regional stakeholder group, although they may not have always said so in their testimony. Many did, but I think there's a great appreciation for what you're taking on here. So thank you again, and best wishes for a very happy holiday. We'll see you in a few weeks' time. Meeting is adjourned.
I've made up my mind.